From FingerLakes1.com, I'm Josh Gerso, and this is Inside the FLX. Today, our program starts in a car on Route 96 in Ontario County. Imagine it's midsummer, rush hour, and there's a line of traffic as far as the eye can see. You've loaded the family up and are attempting to get to Eastview Mall, or worse yet, just across the threshold into Monroe County. You don't want to get on the New York State Thruway, but navigating that short stretch of Route 96 in Victor can be a nightmare. And our guest today is already chuckling. Victor Town Supervisor Jack Marin is back on the program after about a year and a half, and we're still talking about traffic on Route 96. Supervisor, thanks a lot for being here.
Good morning. Well, we're consistent, if anything.
So walk us through, I guess, to start off, what we can expect or where things stand right now with this problem on State Route 96.
So probably about 2 years ago, I had had discussions with the members of the Regional Economic Development Council here in the Finger Lakes region, and I talked about our travel traffic problems on Route 96. And they said, Jack, you know, you tell a great story, but what you really need, you need a study. And you need that document, then we could certainly go look for funding opportunities for the county as well as certainly the town of Victor. So what we did was we put an application in through the CFA, and we were granted a $33,000, $35,000 grant, which we used to hire T.Y. Lynn. And T.Y. Lynn has been our consultant on this with this study process. After that, the next step was to put together a steering committee. And I'm very fortunate that through years of being involved with county government as well, the opportunity to foster relationships. So we have members of the Department of Transportation on there. We have the Genesee Transportation Council. We have our planning director from Ontario County, Commissioner of Public Works from Ontario County, town board member, Economic Development Council members. We have, in addition, the Chamber of Commerce, you know, people, the stakeholders within the Victor community as well, merchants. We also included, not originally, but we did include eventually the Finger Lakes Railroad, because as it turned out, one of the areas that we are looking at as one of our top six items is a railroad corridor between Route 251 and School Street, which to date, and actually this year, there has been no activity, and by activity is parking salt trucks or salt cars on there during the spring and summer months. And this year they did not. My understanding, I think they're over at the in Seneca County being parked today. So recently that's it. In fact, this past Tuesday I actually met with the one business on Route 251 that potentially could consider rail, and they are 100% 18-wheeler traffic trailer. And they anticipate continuing to use tractor-trailer in the future as well.
Now, I got to ask, because you hit one of the points that I really thought was interesting. Someone from the outside might think, well, this is theater. This is being exaggerated in some way, shape, or form. It isn't, though. Like, the traffic on that road, I don't know how the numbers actually bear out, but I would assume it's one of the most driven roads in Ontario County, right?
It is, Josh, and unfortunately, I wish I had that statistic on how many cars per day. I go back to dating my wife in the mid-70s. It was more probably you would see it on a Saturday, and I would be backed up, we used to say, to Casso's Triangle, which was a neighborhood tavern on Route 96, but that's right about the corner of 251. So you'd see it backed up there on a Saturday and possibly a Sunday. Could have been concerts in Canandaigua. It was the lake activity then for travelers, and certainly Finger Lakes Racetrack in those days. But what we see now is Monday through Friday, and then Saturdays as well. Unfortunately, two of our greatest assets also become in some ways part of our challenges, and that is number one is the close proximity to 490, and that's why many people who move into the town of Victor, it's a desirable location based on the close proximity to 490. The challenge is the community south of us, as they continue to grow, how do they get to 490? There's only one way. They have to come through the town of Victor in some form.
So I have to throw it back this way. Is it a Rochester being a suburb of Rochester issue, being close in proximity to Rochester, or is it just economic development has happened? I mean, that stretch of 96 has grown. There's a lot of commercial activity from there right through the Eastview Mall corridor, if you want to call it that. It's been a big boon for Ontario County as a whole. But for Victor, I mean, that's something that was real, right?
Absolutely. No question. The economic development growth throughout the town, you know, part of our success, unfortunately, comes challenges, and that certainly is it. People frequenting the Victor area for traveling, working in that community as well. So, again, many of my colleagues in the more rural areas of Ontario County, Jack, we wish we had your problem. So it's a good problem to have. It's just now, how is there solutions out there? We have no silver bullet, but we are certainly looking at different alternatives.
So some of those alternatives that we've seen just pop up in the headlines, and this is more in general towards dealing with high-volume traffic anywhere, whether you're talking about traffic circles, diverging diamonds, more lanes, less lanes, road diets. There's all these trendy words out there.
Yeah.
How difficult is it for you guys to sort of cut through the noise and focus on what actually can help the multitude of issues that are sort of playing out in that stretch?
Well, when you analyze it, certainly, unfortunately, it's going to come down to cost with many, but also getting the most bang for your buck, just like any consumer, you know, when you're investing into something. And we're going to look for, you know, where are we going to get the most traffic that'll drive and go down a certain corridor, and we can certainly, from a relieving traffic standpoint. We feel number one is probably the railroad corridor between Route 251 and School Street, connecting there. And the intent there would be to attract, get the commuters coming from the southern communities, East and West Bloomfield, South Bristol, Bristol, Naples area. And their destination is the entrance to 490. And then at the end of the day, going back the same way.
Now, numbers. I haven't really seen a ton of numbers as far as what the potential cost could be. Obviously, a ton of different scenarios. What kind of cost might a project of this size end up costing when all is said and done?
Well, you look at the corridor itself, certainly is probably in the $2 million range. But again, that's outsourcing everything. Mm-hmm. And again, you got to take into consideration as well, there is a railroad tracks there. Whether or not Finger Lakes Railroad wants to coexist with us, we don't really see that. I know they have a vision for what they would like to see happen. We don't see that. We don't, unless they were to expand and head down areas and put new track down, we just don't see it. Again, as I said, I knocked on probably the only business west of the village that could utilize it, and they have no interest whatsoever. So $2 million, and again, village forces, town forces, and maybe county forces as well doing a lot of that work. I think the big cost would probably be the removal of the railroad tracks and the disposal of that material as well.
So what I'm curious, what are you hearing from the business community? Because I have to imagine there's excitement around the prospect of freeing that portion of 96 up, but at the same time there might be a little bit of hesitation as far as that while the work is happening, I'm sure they're going to see some impacts, right?
Yeah, members, village businesses, certainly they'll use the term bypass. We'd like to consider it a more an alternate route for the commuters. And this road, if we are successful in building that, we would have connectivity into the business along the Route 96 corridor. So right. Provide a commuter options as well. So right. Maybe we have the more dedicated commuter coming down Route 96, going to make a stop in the village at a business, and then maybe they continue their commute eastward, maybe into the town of Farmington, where utilizing this new road would be, again, the commuter just heading south back into the communities of East and West Bloomfield.
Now, has that response differed at all from what you've heard from the public, from just average residents who are probably more concerned about how quickly they can get through that corridor as opposed to, you know, what impact it necessarily has on the businesses?
I think the fact that we're considering connecting to businesses certainly offered hope for people. I mean, you know, the excitement that the fact that, you know, maybe now I can go back to, because you don't want to end up with the mindset that, boy, I'd love to shop in Victor, but the traffic, So we want to be able to provide options, and we think this is certainly one of them. And that's why I think that became priority number one.
As far as the bypass discussion goes, isn't that a bit trending towards what's happening now, where people are jumping on the thruway, hopping from 44 to 45 instead of even dealing with the prospect of going down 96?
There's no question. Years ago, it used to be back when the toll between the two exit 44 and 45 was 15 cents, it'd be, you know, what's your pleasure, 15 cents on a toll or 15 minutes in Victor traffic? We really do need more of a commuters to utilize the thruway between exit 44 and 45.
Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk more broadly about Ontario County. Obviously, you've been the chairman of the Board of Supervisors multiple years now. Big issues that you see coming down the pike in 2018, things you're looking forward to taking on now that we're 3 months and change into the deal?
I think first and foremost was an initiative that there's a timeline of October 1st of this year, and that's Raise the Age, where 16 and 17-year-olds, as far as cannot be, and certainly in our population, in our jail. So what do we do about that? And, you know, without significant expense, we don't want to certainly be building anything new to house these individuals. So what we're looking at, we are talking to other counties, you know, our neighboring counties, as Seneca, Yates, and Wayne County as well, and some of the more southern areas as well. In addition, I have sent out emails to the county executives in Erie, Onondaga, and Monroe County. I have had conversations with the Monroe County executive as well about a regional outlook. They are receptive to that. I know the Monroe County executive is receptive to that. I have not spoken to, I know the Erie, I apologize, the Erie County executive is receptive to regional, but right now he's considering just more of the Erie County and the western part of the state.
Right.
Onondaga County, I have yet to speak with Executive Mahoney.
Now, I'm sort of curious because it seems like every time I have a supervisor or a chairman from a board, the discussion always goes back to how difficult it becomes or is now to do business for a municipality in New York State. Speak to that a little bit if you could, because you've been on the board now for 10 years, coming up on 10 years. You've seen some changes happen, and I'm curious what your take is on that as a whole, as far as it's gotten tougher to do business.
It has become tough, and over time, I go back to when our county administrator was John Garvey, and we looked at the services that we were providing Ontario County residents. We looked at ones that were mandated, and then we looked at the ones that the county were doing, and could we privatize them? And we have, you know. And so I think those are efforts that we have done internally. And case in point would be public transportation. We now have a relationship with RTS out of Rochester. They provide our public transportation. We looked at our substance abuse, and we have now FLACRA. And FLACRA has been a great partner to Ontario County in this initiative. In addition, our health facility, our nursing home, we sold that as well. So we are taking those steps because you can't depend on the state for that type of support. I think we have to, rather than wait, we have to take what steps we can to certainly make it more business friendly. We are continuing all the time. We anticipate this year we'll do an ag tour, working with Cornell Cooperative Extension, working with Tech Farm in Geneva as well. Can agriculture and tourism partner as well? So we have a look at new options here.
So one of the questions that came in this week from a reader, they were curious on your take on the whole idea that as manufacturing jobs have disappeared from the region, Ontario County obviously losing the sauerkraut plant in Shortsville this year, the whole discussion about tourism and service industry jobs compared to the rate of manufacturing jobs that are either leaving or coming back. And the question was, have politicians forgotten about manufacturing or good paying jobs? That was the way the question was framed. And I'm just curious, your feeling when that type of discussion or dialogue starts to break out, because it doesn't really seem completely fair, because the service industry is doing a great deal for the region.
Yes. I can tell you this individual has not forgotten the manufacturing jobs. And if anything, what concerns me more is the lack of good employees that they need. And case in point is about 3 weeks ago, with Mike Manikowski, the head of our IDA and local economic development individuals. We sat with a company in Victor, and they just can't find help. I mean, they are out. They want to hire engineers. They want to hire individuals. And what they have done, in fact, they instead are contracting with engineering companies to provide that kind of support today. They really need that type of support. So, if anything, working with our local colleges, Finger Lakes Community College, Hobart William Smith, you know, to try to, you know, retain these students in this area, and more having our local colleges working with our manufacturers within this region.
Retain young people. You just said that was going to be my follow-up question. What has to change in order for the region as a whole to start retaining some of those young folks, that those crucial, say, 25 to 45s?
Well, I think what's important is certainly housing for them as well is very important. The initiative, even we look at Uber as well. I mean, I can tell you, I have three children that fall in that age bracket, and they certainly maximize Uber at all times, which is good as a parent. Yeah. So we need to certainly provide the resources that they are going to attract them, and I think housing, those type of pocket neighborhoods as well for them. I look at, certainly, I think the city of Geneva is capturing a lot of that, where they're getting a lot of the Hobart William Smith students. Upon graduation, they continue to live there.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking about traffic and growth in Ontario County and changes that have been taking place. Going back to the traffic for a minute, one of the interesting comparisons that I've heard quite a bit is Route 96 to 332 in Ontario County, and then this it seems like for some people is a nightmare scenario where either one has the opportunity to morph into what would be a Jefferson Road, which is obviously in Monroe County, but a piece of roadway that has grown immensely commercially. That fear for residents who maybe don't want to see it grow that much, what do you say to those folks? As you know, it's a great problem to have, the economic development arm, but at the same time, it really can strain infrastructure, right?
Absolutely can, and I know it's hard to, as a listener, to hear this, but a developer or a property owner has a right as well. And, you know, if it conforms to the existing zoning regulation, then if someone wants to put up a little strip mall with an office building, a three or four, the only parameters, again, if it's they're asking for three stories and our code says two, it's only going to be two. So, again, there's rights. I think your point about 332, there's no question. I think over time, the towns of Farmington Farmington and Canandaigua, they have expanded the sewer and water infrastructure there. And I know, speaking to the Farmington supervisor, there's significant growth coming along that corridor here within the next 2 to 3 years.
It's good, though, isn't it? Because you hear the stories all the time about people saying, well, there's nothing coming to the Finger Lakes. There's nothing coming. And you have these corridors which are literally exploding. It seems like a no-brainer. It's positive, right?
There's no question. People want, and you talk to businesses, too, when you look at, they want access to the thruway. And then, again, close proximity to 490. So I see you're seeing Victor grow. Farmington's growing. I'll go on the limb and say within 5 to 8 years, town of Farmington will have a larger population than the town of Victor.
Really?
From a residential standpoint. Yes, indeed. They have more buildable acreage. They have, if the town of Victor's planning board, if they okay, say, a 25-home residential, Farmington will have 125. They're doing a lot of apartment. There's in their pipeline a lot of apartments and townhouses. So you're going to see continued growth in the Farmington area. A lot of it is within the Victor Central School District, which, again, put more challenges on Victor Central Schools as well.
I was going to say, let's jump into that a little bit. This sort of intermunicipal challenge. One municipality grows, another one sort of bears a little bit of that burden while not necessarily getting as much of the economic benefit from it. How much of a strain does that put on individual municipalities and different governing bodies, like a school board, as an example?
Well, this, for Victor Central Schools, they have such a unique problem because many school districts are shrinking, shrinking population. They're going the other way, and that's where I know, speaking to the leadership up at Victor Central School, that's where they struggle with the tax gap, because for growing communities or growing school districts, it really impedes their growth and certainly puts challenges to them. But I applaud them for what they do as far as their cost per pupil. They do an outstanding job there, and they're not going to say no. We do keep them away. I say we, being the towns of Farmington and Victor, as far as our growth. When there's development coming, and you can anticipate 200 apartments over in this town, so they are certainly aware of it.
Now, I guess let's jump back into the crystal ball aspect of looking at Ontario County. 10 years from now, beyond the growth of Farmington and Victor and Canandaigua, places like that, what's the big change or the big changes that you see coming? Just given your experience and obviously your role in all these different areas.
First and foremost, about 10 years from now, we anticipate in about year 2028 would be the closure of our landfill, which is a great revenue source for Ontario County. So we need to backfill that. That's where we certainly need to be thinking outside the box. And that's why when I look at, is there opportunities with our agricultural community? Tourism will remain and continue to be a great asset to this county, very important. And then again, the attraction of manufacturing. We see the explosion in Victor. If you look at the right off of the on the Monroe County line, the area of Fishers, part of Victor there, there's a lot of high-tech businesses there. You really can anticipate this happening along the Route 90 corridor, being in the town of Farmington as well. And I would like to think subsequently moving east towards Manchester as well.
So to that end, you talk about the sort of title change that's happening. Obviously, no landfill revenue. That debate has sort of wore on now for what seems like several years. Obviously, there's a separate debate, but similar happening here in Seneca County. The region as a whole seems to be banding together and being a little more specific in the types of industry or types of things that they want to see come here because of our natural resources and because of, obviously, the tourism sector. What's that change been like, watching that sort of play out and watching the pulse of the community sort of shift a little bit?
Well, certainly for us and in other counties, Seneca, you have to consider, any way we can reduce the intake into the landfill. Refuse as a whole will always going to be a problem because if you think about it, in my opinion, we have within these counties landfills. Well, what happens when they close? We still have trash. We still have rubbish. So we all need to, collectively recycle more, reduce the output of trash. But at some point, where's that trash going to go? Is it going to go on rail car and go somewhere else, some other state, some other location? So in my opinion, the cost of refuse is only going to get higher and become more of a household burden on individuals moving forward 10, 20 years from now. So that's why we need to start now. Educating our school children as well. That's where it needs to start with the younger generations as well.
Do you think the whole idea of, wasting less, using less, that education is the more important arm of that whole debate rather than focusing on where the garbage is necessarily going to go, getting people to focus on maybe creating less waste?
I think absolutely. Creating less waste and educating the younger individuals. And my point by bringing that up, where is that trash going to go someday? It needs to be an awareness by people right now. I know it's difficult. Odor, certainly. Trash, bags blowing around, we hear it all the time. And it's an eyesore. People see these mountains along Route 5 and 20, and they can see them driving into Seneca County. Where's that trash going to go someday? What's the cost going to be to the households in these communities?
So last question before we get you out of here. Obviously, we appreciate you making the time to come down. Looking through a crystal ball at Victor, specifically Victor, 8 to 10 years from now, what's going to be different beyond the changes that are most likely coming to Route 96?
We are taking on a large sewer project. We hope to be starting that fairly soon. We're thinking outside the box. We have a sewer system. It's not a matter of capacity at the sewer treatment plant. It's getting the sewage from one point of the town over to the other side. So we are going to be thinking outside the box. We're going to be using one of our walking trails in the town, the Auburn Trails. We're going to put sewage lines under that, and then we'll continue with the trails after that. So a large sewer project. We're looking at a new highway facility. At least right now we're looking at various locations within the town, looking at acreage. Currently today, unfortunately, we lease property for our courts in our Parks and Recreation Department. At some point, we would like to certainly own our own. So those are probably three or four items right off the top of my head.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in, and best of luck. We'll definitely keep in touch and find out more about how this whole 96 thing plays out.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I'd love to tell the Victor and Ontario County story.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for us today. I'd like to thank Victor Supervisor Jack Marin for being here, our listeners, and, of course, FingerLakes1.com for making today's program possible. Inside the FLX airs Sundays at 7 p.m. on Spectrum, channel 1304, and is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the FingerLakes1.com app. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.